I want to be British.
Okay, we can do that. We can work
like Madonna.
Brit filter.
Yeah, because she's actually got that Detroit accent and they run the filter on her.
Exactly.
I think we should start with that. I think that should be like the slow intro to the show.
Hey, welcome everybody.
Hey, guess what? We're really doing it.
Yeah.
The Reflex Blue Show again.
And once again, we have a former AIGA national president on the line.
We kind of do that. We like to find important people and bring them to the masses.
That's right.
In vaguely interesting and superficially important terms like this show. So let's do it. We've got Bill Grant with us today from near the ATL.
Yeah, and from Grant exactly. Design Collaborative in Atlanta.
I was going to say very much like... Kind of like saying like you're in Atlanta is like saying Justin Ahrens is in Chicago. It's like you are, but not really. You're off to the side of Atlanta, as I understand. Or am I totally incorrect?
No, we're 40 minutes north of Atlanta. We're Atlanta adjacent, we say. So, but really a bedroom community of Atlanta, Canton, right. Georgia. So
okay, see, so that's even like the same distance. I think that being about 40 minutes away from a major metropolitan area. Is one of those keys to success in the design industry.
Oh, so I'm gonna us being smack dab in the middle of Omaha, is it actually hurting us?
I would say that 36 Point is smack dab in the middle. I'm sort of adjacent, but I wouldn't say that we're a major metropolitan just yet.
Okay.
We're minor metropolitan, perhaps. So, sorry. Bill, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're hanging in there. We're doing all right. It's a balmy, sunny summer day out here, and... I would imagine it's balmier down there. Don, would you like to introduce the world to our guest here? We've pilfered your bio directly from your website.
Yeah, and it seems to be a little bit out of date because it says you're still the president. You need to update this thing.
Oh, really? I want to try to fool people, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, Debbie Millman and I are actually the same person, so.
You heard it here first, folks. Bill Grant is Debbie Millman, confirmed.
All right, and one of the things that you've done when you were with the AIGA was you actually created this fantastic binder I have here on my desk, the AIGA Business and Ethical Expectations for Professional Designers.
Great, have it on your desk.
Yeah,
right here. Apparently Donovan had to con someone out of this.
Yeah, getting a hold of one of these later was a little bit difficult, but it's actually a binder, and inside of it there's like 10 little booklets.
Guide to copyright, use of photography, print design and environmental responsibility. That's a big one.
Now, yeah. Were you responsible for putting this whole thing together, or is it, and if so, where do people go ahead and get one of these? Since I had to dig my way up, and I don't know if these are in print anymore, where can we find this information?
Well, let me tell you, we just designed an update to the binder, and there actually is going to be a hardbound copy that combines all the different individual booklets into one. I think it is just on press even as we speak.
Oh, wow.
And so AIJ will be distributing that to all members in the very near future. So it's an update, and there's some new information, some updated information. But the binder came about when the first time that I served on the board, one of my first board meetings, I sort of spoke up and asked where the code of ethics was for the industry, and sort of people looked at me like I had two heads and said that there one didn't exist. And I said, well, perhaps we should think about producing one. And of course, that was my first board meeting. I learned very quickly after that to never bring something up if you didn't want to do it yourself. So,
right.
So that's a great lesson to learn there.
So that became one of my first projects on the national board, and it kind of started with the Code of Ethics, which was kind of the first booklet, and then expanded, you know, very rapidly beyond that. And it's been a great tool both for designers and you know, clients out there. So we've gotten really great feedback to it over the years, and people really have used it, which is great. People do have it on their desktop, which is great.
So you had a hand in driving the content of the book too, not just the look and organization of it?
Yes, I did. And the original sort of Code of Ethics and subsequent booklets, you know, we worked with different people. So, but yes, the original content, and it's, you know, it's evolved over the years. And of course, Rick Griffey and other people have been very involved in that. So it's been a great project, and I think something really great for the profession. So,
Well, that's pretty cool, and I definitely recommend if people out there can get their hands on one of the new updated new hotness copies that will be off press who knows when soon.
Definitely all the content's also available online at aij.org. So, and all the new booklet, all the PDFs will be uploaded to the website again in the very near future. So that's another way you can come.
I have to come clean about something. I believe I did locate the print design and environmental responsibility chapter online at a former employer's office as I was doing a lot of research to help like green them up, and then I like printed the PDF out one-sided on like 30 sheets of paper. It was just a stumbling block was what that was, but the information got out there and I put it in a binder.
Well, that's what's important. So.
Yeah. Page one of that chapter says, don't print this out single-sided on 30 sheets of paper, and then distribute. But the
binder itself is a pretty sweet little binder and nice artifact. So it was, I think at the time we reprinted it, or the second printing was FSC certified. It's all recycled chipboard and was a nice product. So.
Well, for those of you guys who watch Mad Men and didn't think there were ethics in this business, there are, and Bill wrote them.
Yes, there were not in the 60s.
Yeah, because the one chapter I found missing was the what type of alcohol am I supposed to start drinking at 10, and when is it okay to switch over to scotch?
Yeah, because you started
with vodka.
Okay, because I was wondering if I just maybe missed that insert sheet or if that's going to be in the updated version.
I think it depends on when work starts coming back from the client's office. If that doesn't happen until 2, you don't really need to switch until 2:05.
Okay.
All right, now the next thing that I'm kind of really excited to talk to Bill about is, you've opened the store. And I believe the proper name of it is like the store, if I'm not mistaken. Could you tell
everyone
a little bit about it?
Well, the full name is the store at Grant Design Collaborative.
Okay.
And it is our sort of updated version of a sort of company store. It's been a great sort of interesting project for us. And I was just actually on the phone with a good friend, a photographer I've used for many years, and I was speaking to his wife who answered the phone, and she said, you know, here we are in the middle of recession, and I get an email that Bill Grant's opening a store. What's that about? So, but it sort of came about in a meeting, as we've been having, you know, several of these over the past year or so, of sort of what do we do, you know, with extra time on our hands. And we actually own the building that we're in Canton, Georgia. Our firm is on studios on the top. It's a three-story building. We're on the top two floors. So we have three tenants, retail tenants on the ground floor. And we had a space that came available probably 8 months ago. And sort of in this economy, we're having a hard time renting the space or leasing the space.
I think that's pretty common right now.
Yes, and just so we're sitting there, and I'm also sort of president of the board for Main Street Canton, which is a board and an organization really trying to rebuild, redesign downtown Canton, which is kind of a small community. It's part Mayberry, part Twin Peaks, you know, that we're trying to revitalize, and our studio is right downtown. And so I've been pushing, you know, retail, new retail, you know, custom retail, something, you know, unusual that, you know, to put in Canton, Georgia, that you can't get other places. And so we're in a team meeting, and we decided we have this space, and we kind of have this time on our hands. You know, we don't make as many things as we used to get to make. And so we decided, let's open a store. And that was around 2 months ago, and that was probably in April, I think, when we decided that. And we decided to do it by June.
That's pretty quick turnaround there, Bill.
So it was a two-month turnaround, and we sort of renovated the space, and we didn't do a lot of things to it, but we put an action plan to renovate the space, design the space, and to design product, you know, in that two-month period. We had some existing products in the past few years. We've kind of moved into product design with a lot of our clients, so we've created a a line of custom area rugs for Jaipur Rugs, which is an Indian rug manufacturer. We've designed an indoor-outdoor rug collection for them. We've also designed some indoor wool and silk rugs that'll be hitting the market here in the fall. And we, a couple of years ago, we designed a commercial wall covering line called Set Wall Covering Systems.
Right, I saw that just before we got on the show, actually.
Exactly. So
pretty twang.
We decided, you know, why don't we, you know, we were looking at traditional, you know, how to build our business, you know, new clients. So we decided, why don't we take all this stuff we're designing for clients and for, you know, sort of businesses and offer it to the public? And why don't we take this space and, you know, take the rugs and the wall covering and then, you know, take all the, we're doing a whole line of recycled paper goods, which are journals, you know, hand-bound journals.
Nice.
Greeting cards, note card sets, sketch pads, planners. And we're kind of looking around the office, and we have, you know, just stacks and stacks of papers and envelopes, you know, left over from commercial projects. And we decided, why don't we take this, you know, trash and try through some design thinking to transform it into, you know, a treasure or something of value. So it's a sort of, we were calling it sort of a, the whole concept of the store was a retail stream of consciousness for cockeyed optimists. So,
well, I love it because I think, you know, I mean, a lot of designers and design shops always have this idea that what if we could do more projects for ourselves and we could sell our stuff directly?
What if we just open a store right here?
Yeah, but most of them just think, what if we sell directly? And they think we'll have a website and then we'll sell them that way. But this is actually a physical store you have to go to.
We're working on an online store because we've had a lot of, you know, a lot of friends and colleagues around the country say, hey, we want to buy your rugs or you want some of your wall covering. How do we get it? And we've never been really able to offer it to people. But we kind of wanted to start it with a space downstairs, you know, and it's, you know, it's part store, part retail, part design laboratory because we're actually, you know, we're kind of this Main Street USA, so we're actually getting a lot of feedback on, you know, even our rugs, our products. So when people come in, and people have actually been purchasing rugs, which is great. But
that's good.
You know, we're talking about sort of, right, we're talking about what, you know, what color do you like? You know, what kind of patterns would you like? So we're kind of taking that information from Main Street USA, and then we're taking it back to our clients and the products we're designing. We can incorporate it into future products. And then on the, you know, the we're also offering interior design services out of the store. We've, you know, for the past several years, we've been doing sort of branded interior showrooms, some retail space. For instance, our rug client, we were talking to her about the store concept and what we were going to be selling out of the store. We're going to say we're going to be offering, you know, our interior design services. She says, oh, I didn't know you offered interior design services. I just bought a condo in Ansley Park in Atlanta. Which was so ironic because we've designed all of her showrooms around the country. She actually became our first residential, you know, interior design project. So we're designing her condo, which is a great condo downtown Atlanta, as the first sort of interiors officially through the store. So we're really just trying to take everything that we offer to our other clients and take it to Main Street and sort of see what happens. So it's a really interesting experiment and it's been quite fun. So. We're getting a lot of really great press and feedback. Actually, Metropolis Magazine is doing an article on the store in their October issue. So it's been kind of a great way for us to kind of take destiny in our own hands and kind of go back out to the public and sort of innovate in a very sort of, you know, sort of old school manner. We're, you know, actually making things again. And so it's been a lot of fun and, you know, really, really teaching us a lot more about our collaborative efforts and, sort of what things that the sort of general public value, which has been quite interesting.
Like this transition that Grant Design has gone through, you guys, I believe, you know, started out as, you know, a more like traditional graphic design type company and have sort of made this transition into product design and interior design and sort of all of these different methodologies. Can you tell us a little bit about that transition?
And how did that
came about?
And also, how has this this change of the retail store affected like the hours you and your employees have to work? Was that a consideration at all?
It was a consideration because we're we're all taking shifts and managing the store. And,
I was so close to just making a joke about, oh, are you guys all going downstairs and taking shifts? But yes, that is in fact what you're doing.
We are. We're shop boys and shop girls, and you know, it's we really kind of want that real time experience. So we're getting the feedback on the products, and we're all kind of experienced that, and also we want to keep our costs down. So, but the transition to get back to that is, I kind of see it more as a, for us, it's been more of a natural evolution, and sort of in retrospect, the store just sort of seems to be an extension of what we've been doing, since we started the firm. But we started more of a traditional graphic design firm, communication design firm. Over the years, I sort of grew the business by sort of what client requirements, and sort of I'd be in a meeting, they say, do you do advertising? You place media space? I say, oh, sure, we do. So, and I actually used to do it for the company I worked with in house, but or do you do public relations? We'd say, yes, we do that. Or do you showroom designs? I'd say, sure, we do. I always had the
totally.
Confidence.
We do everything.
Confident.
We do it.
The answer is always yes. So.
Yeah.
If you have a budget, it's yes.
Love that part of our business.
Oh, actually, that's the real answer. Do you have a budget?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, of course we do that. Yeah.
But I think as designers, we are equipped to design across mediums. I've always had my answer was yes. Partly because I wanted the business, but mostly I think because I always had the confidence in my team that, with our design thinking, our processes, that we could solve anything, creative problem solving through design thinking and application and working with, good partners in the process, whether it's architects or, strategists or things. So the company's grown, we've gone really deep with several clients, as far as brand strategy and identity, advertising, marketing, website design, interior design for their showrooms. And then, a couple years ago, the whole product component came about by clients saying, do you know, good product designers out there? And say, hey, we're sitting right here. So,
yeah.
And part of it, we said, they said, well, have you ever designed wall covering before? And we said, no, but why would you want to hire someone who's designed wall covering, for all your competitors to
oh,
do
I
the
like
same stuff
one.
For you? So,
that's an angle,
so,
Bill.
So our angle is always... Our angle's been, what we don't know about a particular product category is what allows us to stumble upon innovation and think it and approach it differently. I think that's 95% true, 5% bullshit, but it really has allowed us, both, the product collections we've designed thus far to really approach those categories totally differently. So, and we've, had some great success in that, so fortunately.
Well, where can people go online for the listeners out there to look at some of the products that you've designed and possibly buy some before your store opens? Online store.
Right now, probably the one place to go would be to our website, grantcollaborative.com. On there you could see, if you search by clients, you could go for the rugs, you could go to Jaipur, and go down to the product section and see the product collection that we've done. And then for the wall covering, you could go down to set wall covering systems and look at product again. All that product's available. As far as the paper goods, we're in the process of creating an online store and an online gallery that we hope will be operational here in the next 2 weeks.
I was going to say Monday would be awesome, but
okay. Right. Well, we'll get right on
fine.
That. But in the interim, we are, on our website right now, if you go to the store section, we are featuring an item of the day. And so anyone can contact us with those items of the day or contact us, to see what's in the store at any given day and time. And we can arrange to get that product to use. For instance, the rugs, we're taking orders, through the store. On a lot of the rugs, we're offering kind of a friends and family rates to the design community.
All right.
We could ship those rugs, directly to your door. And depending if there are in stock, actually the rug collection, indoor, outdoor rugs we've done have been very, very successful. And the first shipment of those all kind of sold out. And We're waiting another shipment here in September, but there are several styles that are still available, and
you guys,
we can take orders.
Bill, was that you that did the, I think it would be one of the indoor-outdoor rugs, and it's got like the little like dog paw, little
it's actually,
walking across it.
It's actually bear paws.
It was just, I looked at it really fast. I loved that.
Yeah, it's called Sidetracks, and again, it's just kind of, when we looked at designing indoor-outdoor rugs for this client, we kind of looked at the, through, you know, the category, typical offerings, because all, you know, the same people are making these rugs for all the different brands, but, you know, it's kind of, a, you know, palm trees and, you know, very, you know, seashells, and everybody was kind of doing the same thing, so we wanted to add a little bit of whimsy and wit to this collection. So, yeah, one of the rugs has, you know, bear paw prints across it, and it's called Sidetracks, and there's some coral rugs that kind of exaggerated, you know, oversized dramatic coral.
Now, if people are in the area, and for our Atlanta, Georgia listeners,
should we throw out an address here? Can we do that? Maybe?
And yeah. Well, what are your hours? What time do they just show up at your office at like 4 a.m. start banging on the glass?
Only by appointment, but the hours for the store, which is 121 East Marietta Street, Canton, Georgia, 30114. You can MapQuest that or Google it, and drive right up to the store. But the hours, their typical hours are Tuesday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. and then 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. We have that European thing going on. We take a siesta between 2 and 4. We try to actually do work for our clients. But
you don't want to let your clients know that you do all of the work in 2 hours.
We're working on that all day, man. I don't know what you're talking about.
I just want one person at the store.
I'd love for someone listening to the show to pop on down there, take some photos, and send it back. I know, Bill, I could ask you to do the same, but I think it's something more awesome about having someone I've never met do that. So
that'd
you're
be
listening.
Cool.
Get down there to the store. Say hi to Bill and send us some photos.
You know, I think one of the things is sort of to get back to your question, sort of something I'm passionate about. And I think the store is part of that. I've really been, you know, I keep telling my team here, we kind of try and position the firm to sort of what's going to be important to our clients after this, you know, economic turndown is over. And I've been, you know, sort of really thinking a lot about this and sort of, you know, I've kind of come up with this sort of mantra that small is the new big.
This actually sounds like long-term thinking and not like, you know, the typical Wall Street, what's in it for me tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking at least over a couple of glasses of wine. So, but, yeah, I think that, you know, while business is great, business is falling out of the sky for a lot of these companies, and I'll put my company in there, you know, included, is that, you know, we all kind of got fat and happy and a little sloppy, a little lazy, I think, and in our thinking and strategic direction. And you know, I see a big movement back to local, looking at local opportunities, looking at more individualized opportunities instead of this movement from this sort of mass customization age to really mass individualization. It's where people are looking for products and services that are, you know, really catered to their very unique criteria, what their circumstances are, and to, you know, to what they can afford. And so I'm really, you know, very interested in making great design accessible, and I think the store is plays a role in that. I'm really involved locally here in Canton, which is a small town, a small community. But we're using design to, you know, transform our main street, our downtown area. We've been doing a lot of pro bono work. I mean, we always do pro bono work at Grant Design Collaborative. But in the past year, we've probably done a lot more because we've had a lot more time on our hands. But we did a whole brand strategy and identity for the Cherokee Arts Center, which is a local arts organization here in town. And that's just being unveiled, and we're working to really promote the arts in the community and how important and critical they are to the entire community. And so I'm really fascinated with this sort of, you know, whole go local movement, and whether it's, you know, from food, our local farmers market that we're doing here on Main Street, to the store that we're doing downstairs. And sort of, I'm really interested in pushing great design and great design thinking to Main Street USA and to people that may be walking by on the sidewalk that may turn out to be just a really wonderful client. We don't know who these people are. We want to, you know, we've been here for Canton for 13 years now, and people kind of know us as the creative people up there on the second and third floor of the old.
You're known as the people that they have no idea what you actually do.
They have no idea what we actually do. Exactly. So
creative people. Yeah.
So yeah, exactly. So
they kind of go in the office around 9, kind of leave around 8.
They dress all weird.
Yeah, wears a lot of black.
I was black, you know, they're probably, you know, cult. So, so the store is really to kind of push that to the public, you know. So when someone comes in the store, you know, they're and buys one of our rugs, you may be a housewife. They may see our rugs, and she may think of her husband who has a medical practice who needs a new website or maybe a new identity or maybe, you know, his interiors, you know, the waiting rooms or, you know, sort of patient areas and websites and healthcare, you know, practices are in dire need of design thinking. And so we're trying to really kind of just connect the dots. And I think it's something really interesting for us to think about. And our clients, we're preaching the same thing, sort of, you know, think small, you know, and think about how do you dial down into those unique opportunities that exist, you know, not for the masses particularly, but maybe for a very targeted, very focused subset of the masses that you can actually, you know, increase your margins and design and create products and services for a group of individuals that will value it more and pay more for it than they would have otherwise. And so I think it's going to be kind of...
Well, if there's anybody who can do this, I think it's going to be you guys, because if you've already pushed ethics onto the design industry...
I know.
I think this is probably a much smaller step.
All of our trouble started with Bill. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I love having a moral high ground written down.
Well, very interesting. I hope we can adhere to the ethics, you know, in difficult times. I think that's going to make them more valuable going forward. So.
That's what the whole Memphis conference is actually going to be about for AIGA. It's just like, no, everything's going to hell. Throw them out the window. Let's just do it.
Exactly.
Charge 20%. No, Bill, the last thing I want to just touch on is I think it's really great that you just kind of mentioned that, you know, even with the current economic climate being what it is, I think it's great that you mentioned that you're still doing a lot of pro bono work and, you know, helping out the art community, you know, locally. I think that's something, that I'm hoping that a lot of people are still doing out there. And as there's an article with our buddy Steve that was in the last How magazine, they were even talking about how, you know, if you tune that just right, you can even use pro bono work as a means to drum up some newer, you know, paying business to you know, as a way of self-promotion. So that's great to hear that you're still doing that.
No, and I believe that's really true. I mean, I think, and that's something that I've just really kind of learned recently, because we've been doing a lot of pro bono work and never really thought about, you know, how it would lead to business. And I think the store is, you know, that's a part of the store, because people in the community have really valued and appreciate the work that we've done for these organizations. They say, we wish we had some way to, you know, to patronize you or to support you and what you're doing. And so now I say, well, come buy one of our, you know, hand-bound journals or one of our rugs, and you can kind of give back to us. And so
That's nice.
So I think it'll be interesting to see where it all leads. So.
Okay. Well, hey, Bill, it's been great to have you on.
Great.
I also see here that you have a new book coming out here in the fall, Unique Elements for Distinct Designs, Volume 2.
Yes, it's a Rockport book that we did. It's 1,000 graphic design elements, and it's a book that we curated and got thousands of entries from around the country and looked at some really unique, graphic treatments, whether it was letterpress or embossings or die cuts or hand applied materials, so I think that the book is scheduled to hit the newsstands September or October, according to Rockport. So.
Awesome! Send us a copy of that. We'll check it out. We're doing book reviews now, so
yeah.
We'll do that.
And we'll get the word out.
Will we see you in Memphis? By the way, this is our announcement. Me and Nate are actually going to the AIGA National Design Conference.
Yeah, are we telling great. People why we're going yet?
Yeah. Well, are you going?
Am I going, or are you talking to Nate?
No, we're both going. Are you going? Will we see you there?
Yes, I'm playing. I currently have a conflict, but I'm trying to arrange that, so you'll probably see me there.
Awesome. I hope so. I hope I see you at a wild and crazy party.
Oh, if I'll be there.
I won't live up to my expectations.
If I'm there, there'll be a wild and crazy party for sure. So.
That's awesome. I love hearing that.
That's right.
Let's save our bigger announcement. But,
okay.
Yeah, we will be there and hope to see Bill and everyone else in Memphis. And, hey, everyone, thanks for listening. Thanks for Bill for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Donovan, take us home.
Yeah, let's do this thing, Nate.
Hey, Pshaw, we should do a MIG tip today.
All right, dudes and dudettes, it's time for another design student tip. And this episode's tip is engaging with the online design community. And that's the key word here, engage. So, after class, hop back online and check out some really great design forums like the How Forum. Check out really good design blogs like Design Observer. And obviously, you're already on 36 Point. And then, start a Twitter account and follow some really cool designers that inspire you. But here's the thing. Don't just be a lurker on the forum, on the blogs, and even on Twitter. Engage. Leave comments on really good blog posts you read. Involve yourself in really interesting design forums that you're reading. And on Twitter, don't just follow people. Mention to them that their work inspires you, or retweet some of the things that they say that inspire you. Basically, you want to engage with the community and be a part of the dialogues. And then, when you realize it's like 2 a.m, and then you can start your class project that's due next morning.
Hey, we just did a MIG tip!
Man,
in the middle there?
That was as always. Thank you, MIG Reyes.
I am thankful for you. Thankful to you. That's the second time I've said that in today's show. For sending those out and passing on the knowledge. So everyone, go give MIG Reyes your love. And now we'll really see everyone in a week or two with more interviews.
Peace out.
To send questions or comments to The Reflex Blue Show, please visit 36point.com. The Reflex Blue Show is hosted by Nate Voss and Donovan Beery, music produced by Dust Lab. Find out more at myspace.com/dustlab.